The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Jason Bryan from the Short Time Wrestling Podcast and founder of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and operated, and those opinions presented and expressed may not reflect others, the sponsors, patrons, or the parent network. Find more shows about the greatest sport in the world at the Matt Talk Podcast Network at matttalkonline.com.
I'll rip your arm off. You know what? Get your ass back home, get in the gym, and figure out what the hell you're doing wrong.
Why is it called the five-point move?
I'm frustrated with the way our Greco guys in the United States are treated because they are good athletes, they are good human beings that want to win. We got to help them get there.
Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of the 5-Point Move Podcast. I'm Tim Hans, founder and senior editor of 5pointmove.com. Dennis Hall's not here for this episode. He'll be back for the next one to ring in the new year. However, we have a very, 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 very special guest. A gentleman so many people have requested, so many people have wanted to appear on this program. And he's here. That is Millersville University head coach, Northern Michigan alum, former U.S. national team member, the brilliant, brilliant Mr. Kerry Regner. And he's right here. Okay, Kerry, I know that things are in a stalemate and things are not normal. And by this point in the, what are we, near Christmas, right? We're a couple days from Christmas. By now, the season's kind of usually full gear. We're starting to parse training plans and think about how we're going to get through February into March and championships and so on. And obviously none of that is the case. Before we double back right now, what is the goings on with Millersville?
Well, we're a state school in Pennsylvania, and we're part of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. About a month or so ago, maybe a little more than a month or so ago, the conference, via the presidents of the school, voted to cancel winter sports. There will be no PSAC conference championship this year. And then most of the schools in the PSAC chose to cancel all their winter sports as well. We're one of them. So we don't have a season this year. Yeah. We just finished up our fall semester. Grades are in, but they aren't necessarily posted yet. So I know we did well grades wise, so I'm very proud of the guys. I think maybe our best semester ever, as far as I know. So I'm really happy with how the guys, you know, worked hard with their academics. They were able to pivot and, do that from multiple locations. Some of them got jobs during the time. Some of them had jobs during the time. We trained for a portion of the semester.
Until the news came down definitively.
We kind of got shut down because of COVID. In some ways, like it was, because of contacts and different things like that, we had to stop practice. But it was right around the time as the season was canceled. So, and then it went right into Thanksgiving break in the way that Millersville had their semester set. Once Thanksgiving hit, then they would go into the rest of the semester would go into remote education. So, and they'd finish their finals via remote, which most classes were remote from the get-go, but like the labs and whether they'd be applied engineering classes or some math classes and obviously some science classes. They were, other than that, most of them were remote from Jump Street.
Okay. First off, I apologize because I knew there wasn't a season. What I meant by that question was this, is that even though there's no competition, is there any I don't know if it's plausible, but is there any way, have there been any ways, any mechanisms in place for wrestlers to still wrestle? And obviously that would, I'm assuming anyway, would take place outside the jurisdiction of the college. That being said, they're wrestlers. They're not going to want to sit idly by. So has there been any kind of situation to where your guys, or at least some of them, have been able to train, even if that means on their own at a club, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very thorough with the guys. You know, follow the land of the law. That's like one of our team rules. You know, so whatever the land of the law is, you know, listen to it. But at the same time, you know, you also have your freedoms. So, you know, whether you want to work out at a 24-hour fitness or at a local club, as long as they're abiding by the rules, you're okay to do that. I mean, we did train quite a bit this fall semester, some of it being, you know, strength and conditioning, but some of it was on the mat, and we did a really nice job doing that. I was really proud of the guys and where we were headed. You know, right now, you know, most of our guys are Pennsylvania kids. A lot of things kind of hit a reshut down. So, once that kind of picks back up, you know, I would expect a lot of the guys to be jumping in rooms. I mean, there's nothing that I do or say to them like, hey, you need to do this. But, you know, I know where our guys' like mental drive comes from. And I think a lot of them will be in a room training. So, safely.
Are they permitted? I would assume they are. Are they permitted to enter open tournaments if they were to become available?
I know that there is like rumblings as far as, you know, possible. And like, this isn't necessarily like rumblings through Millersville, but like, within schools that are canceled their season, like scrimmages and whatnot. So I don't really, you know, I'm going to address it when the time comes. You know, right now I was worried about, you know, recruiting, fundraising, and obviously how the guys were going to finish this semester. So I didn't want to like weigh down their minds and either way and say, hey, listen, like, you know, we could scrimmage and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. That's not really for me to determine, but I do know that there's some, you know, I've heard some open tournaments maybe happening in the spring. And again, you know, as long as, yeah, our compliance and our administration, you know, says, hey, this isn't going to mess with eligibility or your current status with, you know, the athletic department. Yeah, I'm going to support them in their ability to train or compete, you know, off campus or wherever it may be. I mean, I just got off, you know, just got done watching, you know, Rockfin wrestling tonight with NLWC. I was tuned in. It was really exciting. So, you know, why can't Millersville be one of those teams?
Okay. Well, see, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. If only because I've heard of coaches whose teams are shut down. I heard this actually even after the college season last year was basically shut down outside of NAIA and everything else, is that coaches were still keeping their guys on training plans through the earlier parts of the pandemic and everything else, and keeping tabs of what their progress was and might have been and everything. So that's kind of what I was gearing towards, is that, is there a way to like remotely manage a training plan?
Well, I think in everything with athletes, what people don't realize, and even maybe student athletes don't realize until after you're done with it, is how much like personal responsibility your training is, like on you, you know. And maybe, you know, these athletes up to this point have been privileged with, you know, a lot of times you don't look at it as privilege, you know, but, you know, I look at my time as a student athlete, and, you know, Yvonne blew the whistle. You know, if it was practice was at 3:45, he blew the whistle right at 3:45 and you stood up and got in line. And, that might be, you know, maybe a nuisance or whatever to those who aren't motivated, but some, you know, sometimes that's, you know, you have to be there at that point. So, you know, right now there's going to be, I think, you know, what I've told my team is, you know, throughout these pandemics, the rich will get richer. So, you know, like the elite programs will continue to widen the gap. And some of that is because of resources, but a lot of it has to do with their just innate want to be really, really good. So, you know, what's it to me to be working on a website that I'm working on right now, late at night? What's it to me to be talking to you? What's it to me to be like watching, diving into an NLWC, you know, Rockfin event and just dissecting technique and just really just enjoying it? So we got to find guys who, you know, want to like have that same motor or have that same desire. So, and I think we do have a lot of guys like that on our team who are, you know, tuned in, you know, lifting on their own, training on their own, you know, pushing themselves on their own, because, you know, just like you say, like I keep using the word on your own, on your own, on your own. Well, guess what? Like when you're on the mat, you're on your own. Like, you know, no one can, you know, help you really, right? You gotta win the matches on your own.
Of course, I know you personally and everything else, but even when we have talked over this past 8-9 months, it's always been, you know, kind of wrestling oriented. But what about you personally? Like, how have you handled this yourself? Like, as far as, and I don't want to dramatize it, but emotionally, motivationally, whatever the case might be, like, how have you dealt with this yourself? I mean, especially since, like, outside of this, I mean, you're a husband, you're a father of a couple of kids. I mean, this is probably not normal feeling, right?
Yeah, I think, one, I mean, you may know that, you know this, but listeners may not. My wife's a mental health therapist, so I think from the jump street, myself and my wife.
She had you laying down on the couch.
Yeah, sure. She knows how to make me tick though. It's in a good way. But like, I think we're looking at this, like, you know, at a lot of different safety ways. You know, it's not good to isolate yourself. And me personally, I think, and there's some people who like literally, you know, enjoy not talking to people. but I am a person who needs relationships, and I am a person who thrives off of objective, like, accomplishments, meaning like checklists, to-do lists, goals, and different things. And like, you know, they're kind of in some ways like ripped to shreds in a matter of moments. So, yeah, I've had some hard times during this. I don't want to embellish it, or, you know, I like to say during this time, got this from a, you know, somewhat of a mentor of mine. I'm doing better than I deserve. So I am doing better than I deserve. You know, if you've kind of paid attention to certain things, like, you know, a lot of inventions or big productions or big companies started, you know, in low times or isolation times of isolation. And, you know, I think me personally, I'm kind of onto something right now, but I'm onto something always. So, we'll see. So I got some goals for 2021 set, and, I'm hoping that they work out. So, yeah.
It's been a couple of years since you returned to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. How has, I know that you're not exactly close to where you grew up, but has it been a more settling feeling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Lancaster, Millersville is a wonderful area. I mean, we live in a wonderful town. We have a really cool neighborhood. I actually, one thing that I've been able to do is really create relationships with some neighbors that probably wouldn't be able to prior to this pandemic. So create relationships, reach out, give out a lending hand in some times of need, and they too in turn. That's something that has been, you look back on and you're thankful for. We love our area that we are in. We love our town, and really, really hope to be there forever.
I bet the people are really nice, right?
Over there? Yeah. They really are. Yeah.
Are you familiar? Well, you're from Pennsylvania. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with Wawa?
Yeah. Yeah, we're right on the divide of there's like Team Wawa and Team Sheets. So
right. Okay. Where I live, industrialized section of the Jersey Shore, mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. I live within a mile, one, let's say, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile north. There's one probably less than that, a mile south. Okay. So if I need to go to Wawa, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. The point is there's a phenomenon inside of Wawa that I find to be really interesting, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially as someone who grew up, 9 miles from Manhattan, where, not a lot of people are very, I mean, not that people are awful, but it's just...
It's a faster pace.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, so you go in Wawa, and whether you're going in or you're coming out, there's always someone who is willing to hold the door open. Okay. Mm-hmm. They'll hold the door open for you. You hold the door open for others. And that's how this all ticks. Now, this doesn't seem like that big a deal, but when we first moved down here, well, my wife is from down here. So when I first moved down here, I was taken back by it. I was like, oh my gosh, these people have amazing manners down here. except one thing. Is that when you leave the Wawa parking lot, it is survival of the fittest, every man for himself. Like, it is absolutely crazy. It's people cutting each other off. It's people backing out of spots without looking. It is Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with it now. I'm comfortable with it. It just feels mm-hmm. like, okay, well, we're going to have manners face to face, but we won't when we're in our cars, and that's fine. That's New Jersey, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, especially through wrestling, it's like whenever I have to travel anywhere, and everywhere you have to travel for wrestling is certainly west of Jersey and Pennsylvania, everybody everywhere else is so nice. I hate that. Like, they're so nice. You go to, I don't know, give me a state, Iowa. You go to Minnesota. You go to Utah, wherever it is. People are crazy nice. And then, like, I come back to New Jersey, and it is what it is. But you live only a state away. You live, I think your house is 2 hours and some change from where I am.
Yep.
And you get to experience like the Norman Rockwell kind of lifestyle. It trips me up, dude, like completely. Like, I just want to live somewhere where everybody's like nice. Like you have these experiences with your neighbors. Okay. The closest thing we came to that was a couple few years ago. We had some snow, a reasonable amount of snow. And people were, for some reason, helping a couple other people shovel their back tires out. Hmm. Like, okay, but, like, there's nobody, like, coming over. Hey, do you guys have any milk? Like, that mm-hmm. just doesn't happen, man. I don't know.
Well, one, like, I heard a crazy stat. I don't know when I heard this, but, like, it's like 30% of Americans can identify their next-door neighbor or something. Like, that's, like, incredibly sad. And, like, I don't want to be a part of that stat. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like helping my neighbors. I like, if they need something at the same time, like, I mean, the one neighbor that I'm thinking in particular, she loves our boys. And there's times where it's like, hey, go see what Miss Shelby's doing. And like they can run over there barefoot, run in her house and be there for an hour and a half or half hour or whatever. And there's not really a concern in my world that like, hey, okay, the boy's safe. but you know, kind of like that free range lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm not antisocial. I'm maybe not outgoing, but you know, if I see a new person on our block, I'll be like, hey, how you doing? You know, usually I'm walking by with one of my kids or whatever it is, but there's no community. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no, like we're not having a block party here. Right. Like that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big parade guy. I mean, obviously they've been kind of shut down. Like we, you know, Millersville Homecoming. I mean, the parade would, we were trying a tradition, obviously got halted this year, but like we would serve like donuts and coffee, the morning of the parade. And we were just trying to, you know, literally like whether it was, you know, parents on the wrestling team or alumni or our neighbors or people we go to church with, you know, whoever it was, like, hey, or, you know, I don't know, like someone I saw at Sheetz, like, hey, come grab a donut and a coffee and you can hang out like in our driveway until the parade starts. And then like the parade's like, you know, a block or so away. So just kind of like that kind of feel. It's real, like, and it's really cool. You know, it's America. So I like that.
Yeah, there's a guy who lives in my development and he happens to actually work at Wawa. So I see him. He's the only person I know in the area. He's it. His name is Eric. That's it. I go in there. Hey, Eric. Hey, Tim. We had squirrels in the attic. That was an adventure. And so in our development, that's kind of a thing because we have for some reason or another, there's a bunch of trees that they planted. And
squirrels can get in anything, man.
Yeah, no kidding, Kerry. They chewed through my grill hose.
Yeah.
Right through it. I had to go buy a new one. Yes. And you know what the most hilarious part about that is? While I was in Home Depot with my wife to buy the hose, there was a guy next to me buying a grill hose. And for some reason or another, it came up. I don't know if I brought it up. I said it. I said, yeah, squirrels chewed through mine. He went, me too. And there you go. Yes.
It's weird. You know, yes. Squirrel, we just like trying to huff gas or something.
No. Well, we had Basic knows about this saga, but we had squirrels in the attic over the course of like the mid part of the fall. And you know, I'm a pretty light sleeper, but for some reason or another, I was sleeping through them. Lo and behold, they ripped up like poof. Hundreds of dollars worth of insulation in the attic. Easily. I just replaced a couple sections the other night. But anyhow, we had to have a trapper come. And the trapper guy got 15 squirrels over the course of 10 days.
Wow.
On our roof.
That's intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
lots of squirrels in Walnut Ridge.
Oh, speaking of, that's an amazing segue, Kerry. Like, just absolutely professional. I would be remiss if I did not ask about Williams Baptist, in that this program, the Greco-Roman program, I mean, you were a successful coach for the folkstyle program, but this is a Greco-Roman show. So, anyhow, the Greco program was your baby. It was one of the most important and exciting developments in the national program, not only at that time, but when you consider the circumstances in recent memory, maybe over the course of 25, 30 years, counting the institution of the OTC and then Northern Michigan. I mean, we never had something like where a college on its own without any kind of, you know, any kind of arm of the national program really attached to it. This was Williams Baptist, not the Williams Baptist Olympic training site. Okay.
Yeah.
This was your conception. This was all yours and it was amazing. And we didn't get a lot of years out of it, unfortunately. In fact, I think we got what, 2.5 or so in that neighborhood. Okay, yeah. See, you're sighing. See, right there, you're sighing. Okay, so sighing is usually either because you feel stressed or you're relieving stress. So let's go into this. Just, I'm not going to torture you with it, but I even even I've never really hashed this out with you in full. When Williams decided to cut it, which was a little less than a year ago now, what was your first reaction? And then the second part to that I'd like to know is, did you see it coming?
I mean, I love Williams. We loved our time in Arkansas, and it was fun. And, you know, at the same time, you have, like, you know, you ask about my family, and family is very important to me. And being in a location that our family desired was important. And so we didn't have a plan to leave Williams at that time, but, you know, we had had a fair amount of success, and that kind of opened some doors, and several, you know, several.
Yeah. You should have been coach of the year, Kerry.
Yeah. I don't know. We had quite a few, you know, quite a few offers, and, but, you know, and to be frank, like, we, you know, turned a few down, like, it's just like, yeah, like, sorry, thanks, but no thanks. You know, it's, and there's, you know, there's a couple schools in particular. I was like, oh man, like they really like came after me. That'd been kind of neat to, you know, I guess be, you know, be employed by someone who like just sought you out so hardcore. And the timing, yeah, the timing kind of stunk in essence, with the, you know, when Williams started up the Greco program and when my departure happened, that wasn't ideal, you know, and I feel bad for that. And, it would have been cool to been there, you know, like at least just 1 year. 'Cause I'm, you know, one of the, I guess my strong suits is recruiting, and it would have been cool to see, you know, what kind of numbers we could have brought in. Maybe it would have came at, you know, something's got to give, and maybe it would have came at an expense of performance from the folk style team. And that, again, that was my job, and that's what I was there to do. And we did have, you know, John was a coach at that point. And there's like multiple different limitations. There's multiple limitations that made it, you know, difficult. And then there's multiple moving factors, you know, with different administration, different coaches, you know, my departure and different things like that, that, you know, it just never flourished. That's unfortunate. It needs to and can flourish that way. But, you know, that's that. So
most important to all of this, aside from the fact that, you know, at first, you know, I've gotten to know Todd Allen very well by now, and I love the guy. I think he's a great guy. I really totally do. Yeah. I really totally do. Of course, when Drendel left, and it was like, okay, well, the folk style coach who replaced Kerry is going to take over the Greco program, and hey, footnote here, he doesn't have any competitive Greco experience. Naturally, I was extraordinarily skeptical, if not downright upset, because I was like, okay, well, whew, that's just not awesome. You know, I really felt that way. But then after talking to Todd and after just getting a sense of his attitude and at least his the very bare minimum, least his commitment, like his heart was completely and totally, utterly in the right place. I mean, I saw that guy at the New York tournament. And that was his first exposure to like high level senior Greco. And he was as into it as a fan. Like he was so into it, and like it re-energized whatever he even had inside of him before that. And I know that that's still not ideal, but at the same time, we also have some coaches in our country. You know, the argument I made on Todd's behalf to anybody who was skeptical, like I had been before, was, hey, you know, Mike Powell is one of the most influential Greco coaches in the history of the country, probably. Okay. He had very limited Greco experience competitively. All right. He became a Greco coach because he wanted to coach freestyle. And the freestyle national program said, we really don't need anybody. So he went to Greco and they were like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, sure. Hop on. And that's the cool thing about Greco is the inclusionary aspect to it. And that's all Todd really was trying to drive towards. He was dedicated to learning as much as he could, to becoming a good enough coach to where eventually his hope was to bring in an assistant who was much more shrewd and savvy and experienced with Greco. And then he could just, you know, kind of groom them to just become the Greco coach and blah, 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 fast forward, blah, blah, blah. And none of that ended up coming to fruition, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. However, the most important aspect to all of this is the optics. And the optics are that, well, this program started at a college, an enrollment-driven proposition, basically, and it didn't work. But I wanted to control that narrative as much as possible and be like, listen, this actually can work. Like, it actually can work at the right place with the right administration there in the right geography, perhaps, because maybe Walnut Ridge wasn't the most attractive option for some other guys. I don't know. But, like, I didn't want people to give up on that concept just because it didn't work at Williams. It took a lot of things to make it not work at Williams. You said the phrase, a lot of moving parts. It was a perfect storm almost at the end.
Really was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My point is that there are other schools. I don't know what they are exactly anyway. I have ideas in my mind, but this can work. What I'm looking for, I guess, from you is, especially given your scope of experience in coaching and having started the Williams Greco program, what are those ways that it can work?
Well, yeah, it's really simple. I mean, well, especially now. Well, you know, I guess, you know, we need to be talking, you know, post-pandemic. We're not quite there. Hopefully it's soon, but, you know, you have to understand the market of what colleges are looking for. And it's kind of funny. I go back to, my start at Williams. I'm starting a program and, the best program there was softball. So I go to the softball coach. I say, hey, I'd love to take you out for breakfast. Let's go eat breakfast, you know, and I'd like to, you know, just pick your brain. And he's like, sure. And so I go out to breakfast and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, like, you know, how, you know, we're at a very, very small, you know, school and, you know, rural Arkansas, and you're a national contender every year. What's going on? And he's like, I recruit managers. And I'm like, what? Now, in long story short, but basically he was getting his numbers. Not like, I mean, he's a wonderful guy, very high moral character guy, and still a current coach, not at Williams, but at another school. And, I mean, that wasn't the only thing he was doing, but that was his modest, you know, proposition. And I mean, yeah, he was, you know, putting, long story short, he was, you know, basically getting the enrollment driven numbers through managers. And that was giving him the ability to focus on high caliber athletes.
What do you mean by managers?
Like literally girls who weren't good enough to compete in college, but they liked softball. So he'd be like, hey, come be a manager. And they would be a student assistant or a student manager, part of the softball team. So basically, you know, at these enrollment driven schools, they're given, you know, so like Millersville, my current school, we are capped, you know, according to Title IX, and we're capped, you know, we have a cap on our roster. We're only allowed to roster X amount of students on the wrestling team, male students. But these enrollment-driven schools, they have a minimum. Like, hey, you're responsible for bringing X amount of students to this school, you know, each and every year, you know. And that varies from sport, you know, and varies from school. But, you know, it's basically, again, you know, he was able to find a niche and but that kind of, you know, long kind of cut corners, that gave me like kind of a, you know, the light bulb flipped on in my head, and I'm like, listen, we can recruit anybody here. And luckily I had the background, you know, I went to Northern Michigan, and at that point, you know, Northern was an official Olympic training site. It was one of four, and it was done by Bart Stupak. You know, he was a congressman, and that was his pet project, and a lot of federal aid was dumped into that program. We had over 100 athletes for most of the time when I was there, between men's and women's weightlifting, men's boxing, men's and women's speed skating, and men's, you know, Greco and women's freestyle. We had a ton of athletes, you know, over 100 athletes, you know, multiple. I think we had three athletic trainers and, you know, I think four full-time administrators in office, maybe five, along with, you know, all the coaches we had. You know, Greco and freestyle had both had two. So that's four plus, you know, basically every sport had two or three coaches. So it was a huge operation, but you look at these schools who are, I mean, they're adding, you see all these schools that are adding wrestling, or other sports, it's to get more students there. So whether it doesn't matter what sport it is in a lot of ways, as long as they can go there. I mean, you look at esports, for example, which is, you know, at least something I want to like just, you know, get super fired up about, not in a good way.
Yeah,
like,
right. Of course.
Colleges are adding, you know, gaming, you know, you know, as a sport, and they're literally scholarshiping it.
Right.
So what, like, and this is where maybe like where I get, you know, kind of on the offense and just say like, yo, where is where is our Greco body? Where are our leaders? Why, like, schools are trying to add electronic sports to, you know, to boost numbers. And like, we have yet to figure it out. And we can't even follow the women's, like, again, when I went to Northern Michigan, I don't know very well the story, but like, I know Mac Murray had women's wrestling, and then like Northern, but like I think they might have dropped it because like all those girls moved up there. Like, and I'm talking not like these girls were really good, like Mary Kelly, Randy Miller, Amy Borghini, like, but like, you know, Randy was an Olympic medalist. Yeah. Mary could wrestle. I mean, I think she might have beat Joe Betterman in high school or something. Maybe he headlocked. She was beating him and then he like headlocked her or something. But I mean, she was really good. Like, I mean, we had a lot of really good, I'm probably missing a lot of girl wrestlers that should be mentioned. But at that point, like, Northern was like the only women's wrestling, right? And now how many is there? Over 30, 40, 50?
You'd know before I would, honestly.
I mean, I'd say somewhere between 30 and 50. That's a big number, but like, I mean, you just go on NWCA and find out. But like, no one in the Greco community has said like, oh, like, here we go, like, let's do this. And you're right. I mean, like, listen, I tried it, and like, you either win or you lose. And, you know, although, you know, I left, I'll take it as an L, right?
No, no, it doesn't work like that. No.
Well, sure it does. Sure it does. That's how.
No, that's
works.
Ridiculous, Kerry. Mm-hmm. How is it? Well, no, you left it in the hands of a very capable, excellent person, great coach. No, it was the administration who screwed that up. That has nothing to do with you.
Well, I mean, again, you got to make it. You got to, like, you know, you got to make them want to have it. So, I mean,
yeah, not all the same people were in place either, though.
Well, listen, like, you know, you gave me credit for starting it. I can take credit for failing it.
Oh my gosh.
And that might be ridiculous. through my departure, but that it's fine. But that in, like you said, it's the only time it was started and it didn't work out. But again, yeah, like there was a lot of things in places that made it tough to happen. A lot of its location, some of it is the school's vision, you know, and who they want to employ. And that's, again, neither of those are bad things, but it just makes it more and more of a niche. Like Greco's already a small niche. And then when you niche, you know, the school and niche, you know, their vision and niche their mission statement and niche the location, it just makes it hard. But yeah, if you did this in like a small school, like in Minnesota, like,
or Wisconsin or something like that. Yeah, and stop presenting it as niche. That's a problem too, Kerry.
Right. Well, yeah. But we are a niche. I mean, listen.
Yeah, but you don't present it that way. You present it at, hey, here's the most popular discipline of international wrestling in the world. Here it is.
Yeah, right. But like at the same time, you know, again, like I watched an NLWC, you know, big time event tonight. And, you know, you look at the freestyle community, they have their ties with folk style, but like they're letting it rock. They're letting it rock. And we're sitting on, and I don't even want to say, I mean, Greco's sitting on his hands.
All right. I agree. There should be more initiative, especially considering that we do have what we have experienced, at least prior to pandemic, over the course of the last few years. If there's one thing the national program has done very well, it has grown the age group base. Those are all prospective collegiate students, if they're cadet level, right? There's a funneling effect that could take place if the opportunities were availed, but that's been, it's been tough sledding. And plus, you know, I think the whole crux of the Olympic year and everything else has probably caused a little bit of a detour. Kerry, I look at it's, Christmas week. Christmas is, I guess, a couple of days. This episode will come out. It's December 22, so this episode should be out, I would think, December 23. Christmas, most importantly, you know, we acknowledge and celebrate the birth of our Savior. What we also do is we get surprises.
Oh! Coming to you live from colorful Colorado, by the way of the great Western state of Illinois, Mr. Regner. It is me, Max Fowler.
How you doing, Max? It's good to see you.
It's better to see you.
What's up, bud?
Nothing. How you doing, Red?
You still hitting them right now?
Hitting what? No, I've been riding.
Okay. Riding? What do you ride?
Fat Boy?
Oh, motorcycle.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been joined by Max Nowry, in case you couldn't tell by the voice. Max, say hello to the audience for the Christmas episode, the Christmas gift episode for Kerry Regner.
Hello and happy holidays, everyone listening to this 5-Point Move podcast.
He's got a fancy microphone.
I know, yet it's still coming in very echoey for some reason.
Yeah, that's because he doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, Kerry,
he's got a bunch of toys, golf clubs, motorcycles, microphones.
Living the life.
Yeah. Kerry, I was...
It's my quarter-life crisis.
When I was setting this up to connect Max, I'm giving him an update on the topic. That way he could be ready. And I said, well, I'm going to start the Williams segment now. And Max goes, I was going to wear my Williams shirt, but I decided against it.
I didn't know if that was like a sore subject or something for him.
No, it's not.
We poured through it. We soldiered through it. It was, I don't think neither of us enjoyed really cracking it open so much, but we want more programs like Williams to.
I mean, okay. I'm okay talking about it. I mean, like, we need to talk about it so we can do it again. I think so.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, we need to talk about, like, we need to be open and, like, and talk about how it can work and why, maybe why it didn't. And we can all have, like, our different opinions and different, you know, stories about it. But ultimately, you know, I think it should and can and needs to if Greco wants. I mean, it's interesting. Like, I heard rumblings that, like, and it didn't happen, so I don't know if the validity of it, but, like, was Greco, like, nearly, was it, like, on the chopping block for the, like, the 2024
if you guys would just read articles that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other people read, then you would be in the loop. So in the summer, I was told by a foreign athlete of whom everybody knows, but I will not name, who Skyped me and said, "Hey, did you hear about this?" And I said, "What?" He said that Greco is going to be cut from the 2024 Olympics in favor of beach wrestling. When he told me that, I hit a panic attack and immediately started trying to get in touch with everybody in Switzerland, everybody in Denmark, everybody in Norway, every national federation with whom I have even the slightest relationship, and nobody knew anything about it. Like, they hadn't heard about it. And then what happened was it was floated by a bureau member from Azerbaijan. And the reason why was because Azerbaijan, I guess, is pretty good at beach wrestling. So it was ruminated. Oh, okay. Hey,
and they have a lot of money.
They don't have a lot of money, Azerbaijan. Just going through this a couple weeks ago prior to the World Cup. Azerbaijan's economy tanked, which is why they lost the Golden Grand Prix. It's why they don't hold the Golden Grand Prix anymore. And so, whatever. I followed through as much as I could. And then finally, just as I was hitting fever pitch madness, Azerbaijan, the federation themselves, released a statement saying that, you know, whatever, it was not to use complete imaginary language, but essentially that it was erroneous, that no. And then UWW confirmed in a same week that wrestling is staying in for 2024. In fact, somebody else sent me an email, I don't know, a week ago, a coach asking me the same exact thing. Hey, is it true? And I'm like, gosh, I squashed that in, I don't know, August. The piece was read a million times, but, you know, Regner and some other dude from America didn't read it, apparently. Max, Kerry's tired, and I am tired. That being said...
Speaking of tired, I want to know, where's that study yours that cautioned his way into a national championship? How come he's not wrestling Greco yet?
Well, one, like, I think... he didn't caution his way. He pinned his way to the finals, and then, like, the dude got stalled out.
Stalled out. The same thing.
So, like, I did try to get him to wrestle, like, internationally. He went to the Northeast Regionals freestyle. I don't think Greco would be – like, I don't think he'd be bad at it, but, like, I think he would be like a – like, we have to understand that, like, you have to stick with what you're good at. Like, you just, like, we shouldn't just be pushing people, like, you know, just because we like something. Like, I'm way better at Greco. Like, always have, always will be. I don't think he was, like, you know, necessarily bad at upper body stuff, but, you know, he was a shooter. But He graduated and was a construction manager. He was a project manager with a large construction company. But he recently joined the military, army. And I mean, they actually just put an article about him. Well, it was like top moments in the last decade for our department. He was in it, obviously. But he's the strongest wrestler I've ever been around. I mean, hands down. It's not even, I mean, unbelievably. Like, we would do weighted pull-ups, and he would put a 115-pound dumbbell on a belt that you could, you know, put weight on. Yeah. And he would do five sets of five with 115 pounds. I mean, that's insane.
You think he'd be interested in coming for All Army 1 year?
Maybe. I mean, I talked to him before he went to basic, and then like I texted him later, like recently. He never got back to me. I don't know. Maybe he's already like, you know, in special forces or something. But like, I mean, during the pandemic, I remember he doesn't post much, but he posted like an Instagram story, him doing 45 pull-ups in 45 seconds. Like, no joke. Like 45 pull-ups in 45 seconds. It's
how like, many pull-ups unreal. Can you do, Max?
So, but I don't know.
Oh, it's been a while. Not like that. I'll tell you that. But you gotta see this guy, Timmy. This guy is a machine.
Oh yeah, Max, you were there, huh? Yeah.
Ryan Mango and I got to watch him when it was a D2, right? D2 Nationals. Mm-hmm. Guy crushed his way through the tournament and then stalls the guy out in the finals. Just,
dude,
it was a show. And then all Carrie's getting all pumped up. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, he pinned his way through the turn to the finals, and then like he'd actually lost to that kid for fifth and sixth the year before. But you know, he made a lot of progress. We worked on just a couple small things that made him really tough to beat. The kid, he got his hands on him and the kid, you know, there's a couple times where he literally like ran off the mat. And the kid got stalled out. It was kind of sad. Like, Shane was upset that it happened that way. And I know the kid was upset that it happened that way. You know, he didn't, but you know, when it came to that fight or flight time, didn't work out for the kid.
Carrie, in the interest of not keeping you into the wee hours of the morning here, there is a question I wanted to ask, and I wasn't waiting till Max made his appearance to ask it, so I don't want you to think I sandbagged you. But I don't know what the circumstances would have to be, and I don't know what your life would have to look like and anything else. I don't, and I don't want to be presumptuous when bringing this up, but what would it take? Like, what kind of circumstances would it require for you to coach Greco? Not on a full-time basis, because I know that you're married to your current gig, but just, I don't know, submit to the coaches pool, go on a tour, help out with this team, this trip, whatever the case might be. What would that take? If only because, Carrie, I mean, your name is still brought up an awful lot, and people miss you as like a everyday part of this program.
Yeah, I think I did the coaches pool like 1 year, and you know, a couple people were pulling for me and I didn't get picked, and I wasn't like offended or anything. I just like, I think maybe 1 year after that, I like, they asked for us to do it again, and I like didn't get around to it. And then I don't really get any emails for that anymore.
That pisses
like,
me off.
I'm not opposed to, well, fun one. I like, man, like when I do get to coach Greco, it gets really exciting. I mean, really exciting for me because, like I was telling Max, and like we got to push people who are, I mean, they're, and there are also like a lot of guys in college wrestling who should be focusing only on Greco, and they're not. Like we were doing prospect camps, and we did one in New York.
And who was that with?
There's a kid there.
Who was that with? Was who, like, was the one in New York with, Kerry?
It was with Max's boy.
Fisher lived in Connecticut.
The Don.
Well, oh, the Don. It's been a while since I've heard his name.
Yeah. So, no, there was a kid there who was just like getting on a 2-on-1 and just pushing everybody around. And he got a little exposed, like, once kids, like, you know, I saw him, like, you know, get taken down a couple times because he just kept wanting to go upper body, and these kids started like wrestling from space. And, you know, I said, like, you know, and here I am, like, you know, doing a prospect camp and also recruiting from a prospect camp. And this is a great kid, you know, a good wrestler, great kid, a better kid than a wrestler, good student, like somebody, like, there's no reason why I should not want to try to get him on my team. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do next year? And he's like, you know, he started like naming off some things. I was like, why wouldn't you go to Northern Michigan? And he's like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, like, stop that. Like, I was like, stop it. Like, I was like, go to Northern Michigan. Like, that's it. Like, I don't want to talk about this again. Like, I don't even know the kid, but we have to be doing that on both sides. Like, we have to recognize, like, you know, maybe there are some kids out there and like wrestling Greco because Greco doesn't have the depth, and maybe they have a chance to get on, you know, reach some accomplishments that, you know, they're only focused on accomplishments rather than, you know, actual, you know, quality of wrestling. You know, hey, if I go to university nationals at this catch weight in Greco, like, I get place, and like, I don't know what the rip I'm doing, and I don't think I'm good at it, but whatever, I can, you know, get a little tiny stop sign, and forever show my grandkids. But we can't do that right now because we don't have the, you know, like, you can't do that in university freestyle because the brackets are 60, 70, 80 kids deep. You know, you're not going to be able to like sneak your way in, but we don't have that. And we don't have that because we don't have training opportunities. And that's that.
Can you explain to the listeners who the Don is?
So the Don is Joe Uccellini, founder, owner of Kirby Training Center, Kirby Three Style Wrestling Club. You know, his whereabouts. Yeah. So wonderful man. Wonderful guy, good family guy. We did a camp recently together. But the Don was, when I was a freshman at Northern Michigan, he was like a 24, he was like 24. He was a non-traditional student. And he was kind of like a big brother to us, you know, he kind of helped us in a lot of ways, but, I think I know who it was, a guy named Joe Espinoza, thought his name was Joe Mussolini and not Uccellini. So he called Joe the Don. And so then the Don, Joe, he made his AIM screen name, the Don. And so we all called him the Don. So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
And he's like a early version of the situation from Jersey Shore, you'd say.
The Don of Hudson Valley.
No, I wouldn't. I did sit in a sauna a couple weeks ago. That was exciting. I was fired up that he had a sauna in his basement.
Did it have infrared thing on there to get tanned?
Yeah. I mean, he's a family man now, you know. Gym tan. I mean, it's more like diapers, laundry.
Kerry, you know, is not playing work, along.
Shovel. I'm not playing. I'm not falling into the Max's tricks.
Did the sauna have an infrared light so he can tan? Yes or no?
No.
Very surprising.
Yeah. Sure.
I'd expect more from him. I mean, I'm 2 hours behind you guys, so I can keep going. I don't want to keep the old man awake.
I'm old.
All right, let me ask you before he gets into this segment next week. Let me ask you this question. After, if the Olympic Games happen,
mm-hmm.
and there's a World Championships, was it, Timmy, 2 months after that? 3 months? Okay. So if you medal, then that world team spot is for you.
Okay.
At that Olympic weight.
Sure.
If you're in a medal match at the Olympic Games, and you're at that, either at the same weight class, the Olympic weight, or move to a non-Olympic weight, you're in the medal match, and you, let's say you take fifth. Do you think you should have a bye to the finals a month after at trials, or do you think having a bye to the semifinals is fair?
Well, let me first say this. Max, you're still in Tim, I can confirm that I was Papa Bear at Northern Michigan. So Max's generation, I could tell them what to do, and you know they do.
I was the hitman. I listened to you guys. You guys carried out hits, and you and Kirby and Fisher.
Yeah. I mean, but like not just them. Like, I mean, you know Kirby and Fisher. They kind of stuck to themselves in a lot of ways, but like I invoke my opinion on a lot of things, and I'm going to invoke my opinion on here. Like, as a freaking athlete, man, you're an athlete, right? You should not be focused on any of this. Like, the only thing that like caught me off guard is you said you hadn't been doing pull-ups lately. It's like, what the heck, man?
Oh, I do a lot of band stuff.
Well, what the... Do freaking pull-ups, man. You're going to train, you're going to be an Olympic champ. You better be able to do 40 pull-ups. Like, what are we talking about?
You're talking about... Here, hold on. Let me pause you right there, because I get into this argument all the time with my heavyweight.
Stop it. Stop it. No, you're not allowed to talk. Do freaking pull-ups, man. Like, stop worrying about stupid procedures and do pull-ups. Now, Tim's allowed to ask me about the procedure, but you're not, because you're an athlete. And Tim's a reporter, and I'm technically a fan. So you're not allowed to know. You're not allowed to care or worry about it. All your job is to freaking get your hand raised. That's it.
And how you're gonna
and how you're gonna get your hand raised is doing pull ups and rope climb. If you're not doing those two things, then you just might as well, you know, stick your hands underneath your seat, because that's all you're doing.
I do a lot of pull ups, guys, if anybody cares. A lot of them.
Well, Tim's training harder than Max.
So. I feel like you didn't spank a kid tonight. You just took that anger out on me.
Yeah, sure.
You're like Coach Red.
I wrestled him. I wrestled him. We wrestled. So taught Jack, my oldest one, underhooks, the other day. So. Yeah, he had his first wrestling match the other day. It was like a 10-minute long wrestling match with, like, not in real life, but like we have friends, and they have a boy. He's a little younger than Jack, but about the same. And they wrestled pretty well. Like, the first go is like pretty even, and then Jack wanted to put it on his singlet, so they put on singlets, and then Jack got he got torched pretty good. So it was fun. It was fun to watch him. But so after that, I was like trying to show him underhooks. So we were working on his underhooks. But you know what he can do at age of 5? He can climb a rope. So
really?
He's not worried about procedures.
So. Oh, no. At the end of the day, you got to win. You got to win. I'm just saying.
Well, just win. What's it matter? Just win.
I'm just trying to talk with you.
I'll talk with you about this.
Job. I understand what my job is.
I was just
asking you your opinion.
Huh? My opinion is like, I don't know, do pull-ups and climb rope.
Oh, that's the Coach Regner. That's not the wrestler Regner.
Whoa.
Maybe there's an issue.
What's
there,
the
then.
Difference?
Well, he's not. When I direct a question, it's taken differently. I'm not complaining about the procedure. I'm asking you your thoughts.
Well, you're not complaining.
I got to go through the gauntlet regardless. It doesn't matter to me.
What do you mean? Are you going to wrestle a non-Olympic weight?
Well, I'm talking about through the, well, I guess for the Olympic trials, I got to go through that. I don't have that bye.
Okay.
So I'm not even, I'm trials is first thing on my mind. I was just, this is something that was voted on recently. So I was just asking your opinion on it.
Oh boy. I didn't catch the last part. Or is that me?
Oh, I was saying this is just something that was recently voted on. So, yeah, I just wanted your opinion. I mean, obviously, yes, Kerry, you have to go. You, at the end of the day, you want to win every single match. That's the competitive mindset. I was just asking about your input on your thought of how that works. And what you thought. Let's take Coach Regner to the side and put 60-kilo Kerry Regner from Sunkissed Kids.
Well, I'd probably tell you that my issue was that I worried about too much of that crap. So, I mean, if I go back, yeah, I'd probably give you my opinion, but it's a different outlook now, you know? I mean, like, you know, you asked about my guy, you know what he was, you know why he was so freaking tough? He'd pour iron in the summer. He'd pour iron at, I think the least amount, yeah, you could look it up. It's like 1600 degrees or something to be able to pour iron. So he'd be in a hazmat suit in a factory in the summer, 90 degree day, pouring iron for an 8-hour shift. And then he'd go lift, and then he'd go to the wrestling room. And there'd be days I'd have to kick him out because he'd be like almost falling over. But like, you know, I found out that no one wanted to like do his job. And so they loved when he worked there. And I was like, well, why didn't want it? Like, you know, I was talking to a worker and they're like, well, like it's so hot and unbearable and you can't like you to do that for 8 hours. You have to be so, so freaking tough. And so before he would go on the mat, I'd be like, hey, go pour iron with this guy. Meaning like go make it, you know, 1600 degrees or whatever it needs to be. Like go put it like no one's willing to do that job. So go make it that hot where no one wants to be on the mat with you. And Max, you saw it firsthand. No one wanted to be on the mat with him. Right?
I'm not arguing that. I loved watching the guy. I told you I loved watching it.
Well, that's
I
what
even
I'm
loved
saying.
Watching you do a little breaking sign in the corner afterwards.
What you saw me what? Doing what?
Doing that old little breaking sign with your hands.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Hey. It happens.
Darren, I finally got a little smile out of you. It took 29 minutes and 15 seconds.
Well, stop your whining.
And yikes. Okay. That was hilarious. You just heard Millersville University head coach Kerry Regner and two-time U.S. World Team member Max Nowry. And what it is that Max started at NMU towards the end of Kerry's tenure, and they forged pretty unique relationship, and I guess that has led to a similarly unique dynamic with one another. At any rate, that's what it sounds like. And you know what the funny part is that Max's appearance was supposed to be a surprise to Kerry. I did not mention anything about it. I did not hint at it. The only tease he got was that whole preamble about Christmas. Like, you know, surprises, gifts. And then when Max popped up on the screen, Kerry had like zero reaction. Okay, I was going for a, whoa, hey, Max, how you doing? You know, no, there was nothing. It was almost as though Kerry sensed it. Like, maybe that's what they have with each other. I have no idea, but yeah. Anyway, I got a giant kick out of it. Hope everybody else did too. That was Kerry's gift from me. That's it. That's what he got. I hope everyone else enjoyed it. I don't know. I loved it. I laughed my head off. Like I said, I'm laughing thinking about it. So, and what do we have? Do we have anything credible to talk about? Anything worthwhile? Not really quickly. Joe Rau, as per the Monday roundup, Joe Rau is in France this week. After that, he's supposed to make his way to Sweden. We'll see if that happens. I would assume that it probably does, if only because Sweden, even though they've re-tightened everything again, Swedish wrestlers, they're practicing, and so long as Joe can get in the country somehow, I think he'll be okay. And then after that, he'll be in Croatia, and I don't know what's going to happen next with that. There's some red tape, I guess, involved that we'll explore later on. But the U.S. had talked about perhaps sending guys to Croatia in January. And then, as far as I know, that was recently squashed. I mean, then again, the situation could be fluid. But the good news is we'll find out, because there will be a Coach Matt Lindland Christmas report. A Christmas coaches report. I like the way that sounds. And so we're going to bring that up. And what we're also going to bring up is the fact that the Rome tournament, which all three of these tournaments, Paris International, Grand Prix Zagreb Open, and Matteo Pellicone, they were all supposed to take place at the same time virtually next month. Like, for instance, Matteo Pellicone was January 14th through 17, and Paris and Zagreb, I think, are January 15 and 16, or whatever it is, or 16, 17, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, all like back to back to back right in those dates, and now that won't be the case. And why will that not be the case, if I can actually speak? That is because UWW came out with the news yesterday, December 22, that the Matteo Pellicone Ranking Series tournament has been moved from January to March. I don't know what the odds are that a U.S. guy or U.S. athletes, period, will appear in that tournament, if only because March 14th through 17, that's 2 weeks and change from the Olympic trials, and anyone from the U.S., especially on the Greco side, who would appear in a ranking series tournament is going to be a world team, national team type guy, and then virtually every single one of those guys is qualified for the Olympic trials. Whatever. The good news is that first off, there's at least half a chance something happens with that. Second of all, it's awesome if Paris and Zagreb happen next month. I'm so hoping both those tournaments take place and do so successfully. At the same time, splitting them up a little bit, not a bad idea as far as coverage goes and keeping track of these things. And yeah. All right. Social media concerns. Yeah, let's do some social media concerns. Okay, so Kerry Regner. Well, follow Kerry Regner on Twitter is very easy. It's at Kerry Regner, his name. KerryRegner. You can follow Kerry on Instagram as well. Those are more family pics, personal pics. And if you love Kerry, as I do, that's great. And you could follow him at KRegner84, where you could get pictures of Kerry fishing, Kerry with his kids, Kerry jumping into water, climbing trees, whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever these rustic outdoorsy people do. And if you'd like to support Millersville Wrestling, that you can do as well, because they have a really hefty social media presence, especially since Kerry's been there. Max Nowry. Okay, Max Nowry does not have a Twitter. He did for a little while, like 3 years ago or something like that, and then he got rid of it pretty quick. He does have an Instagram. He doesn't really post pictures. What he does is he updates his stories with photos and pictures of his dog. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can follow Max on Instagram at MogsMode, MowgsMode. As if there's not enough going on. I've got to go into this. Fine. If you'd like to follow Dennis Hall on Twitter, say it with me, for no reason, you can do so at Dennis Hall WGW. You have a better chance to get some Hall-ish content by going to Facebook and typing in Truth of Wrestling, or searching up Truth of Wrestling, rather. Or you could go to Hall's Wrestling Club page, and that's World Gold Wrestling. Nice and easy. There you go. And for USA Greco-Roman news and athlete perspectives, please go to 5pointmove.com and follow along on Twitter at 5PTMove. That's it for episode number 43, everybody. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas, and see you soon.